For any sized gift before Easter Sunday, April 4th, we'll send you my new children's book, They Shall Never Perish. You can make a secure online donation at thewordendures.org, and you can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you They Shall Never Perish.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
What pride is this? Well, Israel's material prosperity, her confidence in the good times that the idols, so she thought, were delivering to her. And human pride is always contempt of God and turning away from Him.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hosea.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. It was kind of glum last time as Yahweh exposed the crass idolatry that was being practiced by those he still called his people in the northern tribes. Remember the ambiguity about exactly what that piece of wood and walking stick referred to, but there was no ambiguity at all about their abandoning their God due to this demonic spirit of whoredom that had taken them over. And so they were sacrificing in the groves on the high places and worshiping the fertility gods, not just by sacrifice, but by sexual relations of all varieties. The men even worse than the women. I know, hard to believe, right? Not. But God warns the southern kingdom, don't go there. Literally, don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to Bethel, which Hosea mocks with the name House of Wickedness instead of House of God. Steer clear, Judah. Israel was likened to a stubborn heifer going her own way, away from Yahweh's good pasture, his word. And remember that drink ran with sexual immorality and the rulers just embracing all of it to their shame as the demonic spirit settles down upon the north, making her ripe for the coming destruction. Moving on, a reading from Hosea, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king. For the judgment is for you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor, and the revolters have gone deep into slaughter, but I will discipline all of them. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God, for the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in his guilt. Judah also shall stumble with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have dealt faithlessly with the Lord, for they have borne alien children. Now the new moon shall devour them with their fields. Hosea 5, verses 1 to 7. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig into today's word? Let's do it. Verse 1. Hear this, O priests, pay attention, O house of Israel, give ear, O house of the king, for the judgment is for you, for you have been a snare at Mitzpah and a net spread upon Tabor. We just heard that Israel's problems stem from her not knowing the truth because she won't listen to the word of the Lord. She won't graze in that pasture, but like a naughty cow, has broken out and is seeking other sustenance. So, with the threefold exhortation, this chapter tells the north, hear, pay attention, give ear. Remember how often your Lord Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, which I paraphrase as, you got ears, don't you? Use them already. And this exhortation to listen when Yahweh is talking is given first to the priests, who, recall, were illegitimate since they were not from the house of Levi and Aaron. But then to the whole people who appointed those priests and accepted their service, and especially to the king. And the message just comes down to a single word, judgment. The judgment is for you. That judgment in the north means falling to the Assyrian Empire. And remember what I said before about how cruel and horrifying they could be, flaying those who dared to resist them. The snare at Mitzpah and the net spread on Tabor refer to different northern sanctuaries where their idolatries were carried out. And the image of the snare and the net suggests that idolatry itself is a trap by which people are tricked and brought to destruction, just like animals are taken by snare or net. Theophylact of Bulgaria, writing in the 11th century, speaks of these as traps with which the hunting demons have always fastened their spiritual prey. Verse 2. And the revolters have gone deep into slaughter, but I will discipline all of them. The revolters refers to those who have revolted against the true king, against Yahweh, and have given their worship to the false gods to their own hurt. But I find fascinating that the Greek translation renders this, which they who hunt the prey have fixed, but I will correct you. They who hunt the prey being those demons, but God will instead offer correction. I think that the Greek here rightly reads the word discipline in a more positive light than a mere penal read. Saint Jerome, writing in the 4th century, paraphrased, I am your master, or rather your instructor, who wishes to correct rather than to punish, to save rather than to lose. So, in the words discipline or correct, what you hear is Yahweh's intention, through the time of the exile, to bring Israel out of her idolatry and into that saving relationship with him that he has been offering her all along. Verse 3, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. Are we supposed to hear I know, in the marriage sense, like Adam knew Eve, his wife? Same term in Hebrew. I know Ephraim. I'm her husband? Possibly. And so Israel is not hidden from me. That is, God sees and knows his people, even in their sins. That was the point of sending Hosea to marry Gomer, remember? Just as Hosea did that, so Yahweh goes in search of his bride who has defiled herself with her idolatries, which is what Hosea usually means by playing the whore. Though, of course, her idolatries literally did involve cult prostitution, as we've heard. Verse 4. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God, for the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. If Yahweh knows her, she does not know him. And this because of two factors. Her deeds, which block the path back to the living God, and this all-pervasive demonic spirit of whoredom that has moved in and taken possession of the northern tribes. St. Jerome wrote, "First, the king, Jeroboam I, chose to play the whore away from the worship of God, wishing to adore his golden calves, and the people follow him willingly. With equal zeal they accomplished equal ungodliness. They do not return to the Lord, for they found what they were looking for. And the spirit of whoredom, which according to the apostle works in the sons of distrust, Ephesians 2:2, holds their hearts captive. As long as it governs, they know not the Lord. In fact, they forgot their Creator, and by the spirit of whoredom went away from the true marriage." Verse 5. "The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in his guilt. Judah also shall stumble with them." What pride is this? Well, Israel's material prosperity, her confidence in the good times that the idols, so she thought, were delivering to her. And human pride is always contempt of God and turning away from him. And thus the northern tribes stumble in their guilt. And they don't stumble alone. Judah stumbles right along with them. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." My mom loved to cite that verse from Proverbs to me, and I guess I needed to hear it. We all do. Oh Lord, deliver us, one and all, from all pride, that we may not fall down in our guilt, but delight in your gracious forgiveness. Verse 6. "With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them." There's something mechanistic about this. They don't go to seek the Lord with their hearts. They go with their flocks and herds, their gifts, thinking of God like a vending machine to whom they give something so that he, in return, will give something back. Do ut des. That's the way we put it in Latin. In English, we might render it, "I scratch your back, you scratch mine." This for that, tit for tat. In contrast to throwing an offering God's way, you have David's prayer from Psalm 51. Verses 16 and 17, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering." The sacrifices of God, meaning the sacrifices he wants, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. But God won't deal with Israel when she comes to put him under obligation with her sacrifices, but not actually seeking him, not obeying his voice. What did the prophet Samuel tell Saul? "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen as the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry." 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. Verse 7, "They have dealt faithlessly with the Lord, for they have borne alien children. Now the new moon shall devour them with their fields." They dealt faithlessly with the Lord, who was their true husband, by rearing the next generation in this idolatrous worship. St. Cyril of Alexandria, writing in the 5th century, says that alien children here are those who from the womb and from swaddling clothes have been dedicated to the worship of idols, perhaps by their fathers, when they offered thanksgiving and sacrifices for their births to these demons. That makes sense, but what about that weird ending? The new moon devouring them with their fields? That is a toughie. Probably the hardest verse in the whole book. The Septuagint, the Greek version, renders it as, "Now shall the cankerworm, the locust, devour them and their heritage," which might be taken not as a natural disaster, but invading armies likened to locusts devouring Israel. That's how St. Cyril of Alexandria read the text. War is going to be inevitable. The great prosperity of the present is not going to finally last. Alternatively, if you stick with the form that we have in Hebrew, the new moon, may be a reference to the idolatrous cult, which will end up not delivering on the prosperity they assume, but rather only destruction. That's where we're going to call it quits today, people loved by God. Next time, we wrap up the fifth chapter of Hosea with Yahweh's horn of judgment sounding in the land and the people crushed under oppression, not because the Lord is unmerciful, but because they refuse the healing he offers for the sickness of their sin and rebellion. They're about to encounter Aslan, as C.S. Lewis would call him, the Lord as Lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah who tears and none can deliver from his hand. And after his tearing, he waits for genuine repentance, for turning from guilt, and honestly seeking his face. Good stuff up ahead. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. For any size gift before Easter Sunday, we'll send you Pastor Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.